Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Our guest on today's Edgewise is Stan Slapp, author of the book Bury My Heart at Conference Room B, The Unbeatable Impact of Truly Committed Managers. Stan, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you, Dave.
Stan, you've done considerable research on managers' commitment.
Yes. Now, Bury My Heart at Conference Room B is already the highest rated management development solution in a number of the world's highest rated companies, companies that don't have patience as a value. It's in there because it produces results. I wanted to make sure that the results meant something to companies and meant something to managers. So tens of thousands of managers were interviewed for this book. And these are managers from executive to entry level and various lines of business and industries from many of the world's most admired companies. We spent deep time with them in over 70 countries.
In the book, you have this concept of file under big trouble. Can you talk about that?
Yes. The first time we put 10,000 managers through the Bury My Heart at Conference Room B process, we went back and looked at some of the data points that were coming out of that process. One of the questions we had asked was, what are your most important personal values? It was an open-ended question. Now, there's no real right or wrong answer to that question, but there were certainly some more popular values chosen by managers. And the number one value chosen by more managers than any other was family. The number two value was integrity. We went back and we asked those same managers, what are the personal values you are most under pressure to compromise to do your job on a regular basis? Number one was family. Number two was integrity. The reason that is filed under big trouble is the key neurobiological source of emotional commitment in human beings is their ability to live their own deepest values. So for managers, it would be the ability to live their values at work. And those 10,000 managers weren't saying that family is being compromised because I'm not spending enough time at home. They were saying the dependable support and community I get from my family is not something I'm getting in a place I'm spending over half my waking hours. They weren't saying integrity is being compromised because I'm being forced to lie, cheat, and steal to make my numbers. They were saying that there is a disturbingly low amount of integrity between who I really am and who I am at work. Big trouble.
Exactly. Now, besides these two values, were there others that the study revealed?
The interesting point about this was the values that were most often not chosen. We gave 50 values as a guideline. Accomplishment, competitiveness, power were on the list, very rarely chosen. It's not that these things are unimportant, but deep human personal values were coming from a completely different place.
Okay, what about C-suite executives or individuals at a higher level?
It's really indistinguishable. When you're clawing your way to the top in your career, you can cling to the illusion that everything will be figured out and fulfilling when you get there. When you finally get there and you realize that things still don't make sense and you can't admit what doesn't feel good to anybody and you have all the apparent rewards of the job and sometimes you're a culture of one and there's no place else to go, Dave, people jump from the top floors in buildings, not the bottom.
That's true, unfortunately. And I would assume that managers aren't aware that the company is not building the kind of culture where commitment can exist.
Oh, they're very well aware of it. But the default position for emotional commitment is emotional detachment. And it may be difficult to realize if you're emotionally detached. And the other types of commitment, financial, intellectual, and physical combined to masquerade as emotional commitment. Not living your values at work doesn't have anything to do with how smart and successful you are as a manager or your maturity or your skill. I've met many managers, very, very smart managers, who say, I have family as a value. That's why I work all the time and never see my family to make enough money to take care of my family by killing the competition, which is other people and their families. You just don't really think about it. You just get swept into that stream. There's such relentless, seductive pressure from the company to reposition personal values and present them as corporate priorities. They will say, you have family as a value? That's beautiful. Let's celebrate that. This is your family right here. Make your numbers. Protect your family.
Now, some executives would argue that this works. But doesn't this have a detrimental effect on various areas within an organization?
Oh, it does. And I'm not saying you can't be successful without gaining emotional commitment from your managers, the source of that being their ability to live their values at work. But what definition of success? For how long? Compared to what? At what cost? There are many metrics of emotional commitment in managers, but the biggest one can't even be seen until managers need to show it. And that is if the company gets into trouble, only emotionally committed managers will step up to save it. Now, you can't bank that when you need it. You have to put it away ahead of time.
Okay, that's an interesting point because a lot of managers and executives are feeling stressed. They're expected to deliver more, do the work of two or three people, come up with innovative ideas. And it's not really helping the company at all.
No, and emotional commitment is worth more than financial, intellectual, and physical commitment combined. Now, the manager may be a great job to have. You may be having a great time doing the job. But embedded in any manager's job description is the requirement to constantly subordinate or compromise deepest personal values. Now, I'm not saying you're out there committing heinous acts as part of some Faustian bargain, but what the company wants done and how it wants it done must regularly take precedence over your own deep priorities. That's what it means to be a manager. Serve your company first. And when you put a person in a position like this, forced to compromise or subordinate what's most naturally important, emotional detachment is a natural reaction. But emotional commitment means unvarnished, unhesitating support for the company and its goals. You will only get that through emotional commitment. Now, whether you need it now more than ever, whether you've always needed it, whether you're going to need it in the future, it's still what will most protect the company during good times and bad.
Right. Now, what about the culture of an organization? Doesn't it play a major part in communicating these values to the managers?
Sure. But there's a difference between the company culture and a culture of managers. Managers have their own culture. Once you understand a culture, it's the simplest operating system in the world. A culture is an information-gathering organism designed to assure its own survival. But the implications of that is that its antenna is working constantly, its perceptions are alarmingly accurate, its credibility detector is infallible, and its memory is elephantine. So you cannot bribe, bluff, or bully a manager culture. You can't tell it what to believe, and you can't stop it from existing. The culture has all the power. If a manager culture wants something to happen, it will. If it doesn't, it won't. So the company can't dictate what the culture is. Company descriptions of the culture are just hysterical to the culture. It's the culture that will decide what's really going on. A company culture is really the subcultures of managers and employees.
I think you're absolutely right, but a lot of CEOs say that they create the culture for the company. What you're saying is that the manager's reaction to the company is actually creating the culture.
That's right. It's the same as values. Companies love to claim they have values. Companies don't have values. They have strategies being sold as values. Values are a completely different thing. Values are deeply held personal beliefs. In a company that really has values, what you have is the people at the top who bring their own values to work. And then they insist that everybody else be able to do the same. So you get common values like family and integrity that rise to the surface and define how people are treated on the inside and flow seamlessly to how people are treated on the outside.
That's wonderful. So Stan, what's the solution?
The solution is to respect the complexity of the problem in a couple of different ways. First of all, it's to understand that part of the problem is managers themselves. You can take any couple of managers, put them in a room, and talk to them about how they want to live and work and live at work. They're pretty sane and sensible about these things. You put a bunch of managers together, and some bizarre herd mentality takes over, and they start legislating against themselves. The conditions that managers deplore about living at work, including not being able to bring the best of who I am to work, were created, mandated, and are accepted by managers, acting as management, the honor guard of the corporate organism. And from the corporate organism standpoint, the corporate organism, whose own first purpose is to survive like any organism, believes it needs to be the dominant organism in the relationship with its managers. It has to get managers to do what it wants them to do, how and when it wants them to do it. So it bribes, bluffs, and bullies managers, and it gets financial, intellectual, and physical commitment. But that act alone automatically shuts down the source of emotional commitment, what will save the company the most.
All right. Are there any specific things that managers can start planning on doing to change things?
Yes. Recognize that the cause cannot always be the company. It must also be managers' fulfillment of their own values within the company. That is not licensing chaos. It's ensuring control. There's no more reliable way for the company to become the cause than by not always insisting on becoming the cause. For an individual manager, the decision has to be made that it's a riskier issue to not live my values at work than to live my values at work. Managers have to understand their own values, which is trickier than it sounds. Then they have to be able to turn those values into a compelling cause for their people. In the name of their values, they have to offer the promise of better working conditions. Now, when that happens, employees will keep the manager successful by delivering on performance goals, and managers will have an entirely different story to tell about how they got their performance.
So what should managers do?
Recognize if you're managing managers, that this is the best way to get what you want from your manager culture. If you're an individual manager, do the diagnostics, either in the book or some other way, to really understand what's truly most important to you. And make the commitment that you're not going to leave that behind in an environment where you spend over half your waking hours. And then translate your personal values into something of compelling benefit for your people. Because if your employees want you to live those values, they will do whatever they have to make that happen. And if they're convinced it's better for them for you to do that in the name of family or integrity or freedom, they will protect you in order to keep you protecting them.
Now, before we wrap up, do you have any other thoughts or comments on the message you're trying to relay in the book? Anything you'd like to share?
I wrote this book to make the business case for a manager's humanity. If we lose a manager's humanity, we're all in a lot of trouble. Inside the enterprise, outside the enterprise, we've seen too many recent examples where that happens. And you have to wonder, how does something like that happen in the first place? We all know the public examples of companies that have really gone wrong. Was it just a couple of people at the top? No, it wasn't. A manager culture knows everything that's going on. So in those organizations, even if they might not have known the specifics or been there for some of the major fraudulent decisions, they knew something was wrong. So how do fundamentally good people let that evil under the door? It's not through one deliberate violation of integrity. It's through constant little paper cuts to the soul that go unnoticed, untreated, and infect our true sense of self. If you don't know what's true for you, everyone else has unusual influence. That is the main message of the book. Save yourself, save your company, save the world. Can one manager really change the world? Considering the state of the world today, that's the only way it can change. One person influencing one group at a time.
We've been talking to Stan Slapp, author of the book, Bury My Heart at Conference Room B, The Unbeatable Impact of Truly Committed Managers. Stan, thanks a lot for being with us on Edgewise today.
Thank you, Dave.
With only an internet connection and a browser, you can tap into AMA's world-class training. The American Management Association is bringing live instructor-led training right to your desktop. AMA's new virtual seminar offering features a live virtual format that is highly interactive and very user-friendly. It's taught by the same expert, world-class faculty that run our classroom sessions, and the high-quality content has been specially engineered to run in an online format. You get real-time online interaction with your course leader and your fellow attendees. You will receive a USB headset so that you can not only listen but talk to your classmates and your instructor. So take advantage of these offerings, enhance your career journey by building your skills, and you don't have to take any time away from the office. For more information about AMA's virtual seminar offering, visit our website at www.amanet.org. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.